claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Vaffanculo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, I think it's true to say today that history is being made. It's being made in the UK. The ripple effects are going to be enormous. Joined today by Giuseppe Vaffanculo and Daryl Wayne, we're delighted to report that Boris Johnson has thrown in the towel on working at home, on face mandates, on passports, COVID passports. It looks to me this appears to be the beginning of the end. Listen to Boris himself. Take it from the horse's mouth.
This morning, the Cabinet concluded that because of the extraordinary booster campaign, together with the way the public have responded to the Plan B measures, we can return to Plan A in England and allow Plan B regulations to expire. As a result, from the start of Thursday next week, mandatory certification will end. Organisations can, of course, choose to use the NHS COVID pass voluntarily, but we will end the compulsory use of COVID status certification in England. Yeah. From now on, the government is no longer asking people to work from home. Yeah. And people should now speak to their employers about arrangements for returning to the office. And having looked at the data carefully, the Cabinet concluded that once regulations lapse, the government will no longer mandate the wearing of face masks anywhere. Mr. Speaker, from tomorrow, we will no longer require face masks in classrooms, and the Department for Education will shortly remove national guidance on their use in communal areas. In the country at large, we will continue to suggest the use of face coverings in enclosed or crowded spaces, particularly when you come into contact with people you don't normally meet. But we will trust the judgment of the British people and no longer criminalise anyone who chooses not to wear one. The government will also ease restrictions further on visits to care homes. And my right honourable friend, the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, will set out plans in the coming days.
Wow. How about
Giuseppe,
that?
Yeah, I want you to play that again. It may come across as so unbelievable. This is the beginning of the end. Play it again, Sam.
First, I would like the people tuning in. Russ Winter has the flu, but luckily Daryl Wayne's here, and we're going to be joined by another guest, John Percent, a little later. John's got a lot of things to say about stuff like this, as does Daryl. So welcome, Daryl, and I'm going to play it again right now, Jim. Play it again.
Terrific.
This morning, the Cabinet concluded that because of the extraordinary booster campaign, together with the way the public have responded to the Plan B measures, we can return to Plan A in England and allow Plan B regulations to expire. Yeah. As a result, from the start of Thursday next week, mandatory certification will end. Yeah. Organisations can, of course, choose to use the NHS COVID pass voluntarily, but we will end the compulsory use of COVID status certification in England.
Yeah.
From now on, the government is no longer asking people to work from home.
Yeah.
And people should now speak to their employers about arrangements for returning to the office. And having looked at the data carefully, the Cabinet concluded that once regulations lapse, the government will no longer mandate the wearing of face masks anywhere. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, from tomorrow, we will no longer require face masks in classrooms, and the Department for Education will shortly remove national guidance on their use in communal areas. In the country at large, we will continue to suggest the use of face coverings in enclosed or crowded spaces, particularly when you come into contact with people you don't normally meet, but we will trust the judgment of the British people and no longer criminalise anyone who chooses not to wear one. The government will also ease restrictions further on visits to care homes, and my right honourable friend, the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, will set out plans in the coming days.
Wow.
This is so sensational. Yeah, what's your gut reaction, my friend?
Well, my gut reaction is that the globalists who are prosecuting a war against humanity, a very sophisticated fifth generational war with high level mind control, with the releasing of the lab developed gain of function bioweapon, they really made some tremendous gains in the enslavement of the weak-minded normie. But all of a sudden, I also was saying that the silent majority in all the first world countries would only put up with it for so long, and that time is coming to an end, because it's clear that what is maiming and killing people is the Jew jab, the death jab from Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and the other farcical quaxination injections that are not vaccinations. They're genetic experimentation that they've had on the shelf for 20 years and have wanted to roll it out to test on the Goyim cattle, because they could never get past the animal trial. So they needed a phony scamdemic, which is what we've been living through. I've been just having a conversation with my wife yesterday, and we were stunned to think that they literally stole 2 years of our lives with this horse shit. So I think that it's interesting that they're letting it fall apart first in Great Britain, which is the crown, which is the headquarters of the satanic Rothschild synagogue of Satan. And it's very interesting to me that that's where they're beginning to let it all unravel now. And you know, the Talmudists always do is they take two steps forward, and then because they are such a distinct minority in the world population, they have to take one step back. And I think we're witnessing the one step back. Daryl Wayne, welcome. And I know you've done a lot of research into the crown. Your thoughts on this stunning development by Bojo, who our fan Neil Roberts watching said, it looks like Boris Johnson looks like a stoner kid I knew in prep school. Yeah, he does. I went to school with a lot of guys who looked just like that, would go and smoke in the bathrooms and smoke weed out behind the ball field. So, yeah, he does look like that. That's really funny. Daryl, welcome. Your thoughts.
Have we got Daryl there?
Yeah, he's there. Are you muted on your end, Daryl, or – because you're not muted through StreamYard.
Can you?
There he is. There There's the
we
man.
Can you hear me? Go ahead. Go, Daryl. Go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, good morning, Jim. I understand Russ is under the weather. I just recovered from my bout with this about a day and a half ago. I called it the contrail flu. And
That's true, for sure.
My best wishes to Russ. Yeah.
Well, Daryl,
I'm still a little bit off my game, I guess. But
well, did you see Did you see the horse?
This is the first I've heard of this. Yeah.
Well, it's just happened.
Yeah, it just released.
It just happened this morning. Yeah. This is brand new. That's why we're giving the news here. I mean, this is really historic.
I just saw it right now. Yeah.
Well, we want your reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, we appreciate you're going under the weather. I've been through it, you know, and we know Russ, but
you know, I'm a very cautious sort, Jim.
So when you're sitting there and you're watching the PM of England deliver this statement, no more masks, no more working at home, no masks beginning tomorrow.
I'm very cautious about it. I'm somebody who,
Daryl, you're just
Daryl, tell us. I mean,
well, he just was saying, go ahead, Daryl. You're cautious. You're just you don't know.
I don't have any basis to which to believe anything they say. They have no credibility.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look, there's caution.
Well, history provides for the fact that they have no credibility or legitimacy, even when they do say that they're going to do something.
Let me put it this way: when the PM of England makes that announcement, and as Giuseppe was observing, that's
so,
the bastion of the Rothschild.
The only thing I would say, guys, is I'm not prepared to make a long-term conclusion on short-term indications.
Well, Daryl, I don't know what to say to that, Giuseppe. I'm gobsmacked. I mean, what? This is a huge development.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just one statement on one day. What's the efficacy of this going to be going forward?
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid point. I mean, it's unexpected, especially as hard as they pushed. But, Daryl, did you happen to see the video?
Does this also result in their prosecution of enforcing legal actions against themselves?
they said there's not going to be any prosecution anyone for, you know, the mandates and all that. Whether they are going to hold themselves criminally responsible for what they've done up to four is heretofore
Giuseppe,
is very unlikely. But you cannot make a statement like this and then suddenly reverse it. That would cause an uproar. Giuseppe, it's fascinating. There have been these huge protests all over Europe. I mean, massive, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. We have not had that here in the United States. But nevertheless, coming up to his State of the Union on the 1st of March, the CDC is reversing, doing a U-turn on its pandemic narrative in order to lay out a ground for Biden to declare on the 1st of March that the pandemic is over. See, he has been suffering politically so badly, they've had to figure out what to do about it. And Joseph Mercola, you'll find it in the stories I've sent you, Giuseppe, if you haven't seen it already. Pandemic narrative undergoes radical U-turn. I mean, this is really fascinating stuff. Here's a story at a glance. In recent days, the pandemic narrative has undergone a remarkable number of U-turns. January 9, 2022, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky sent out a tweet saying, "We must protect people with comorbidities from severe COVID-19. In other words, focus protection, which is what tens of thousands of doctors have been calling for since the creation of the Great Barrington Declaration in early October of 2020. January 10th, the following day, Walensky admitted that COVID shots cannot prevent transmission. The CDC is now saying, you should not retest once you've recovered from COVID, as a PCR can provide false positives for up to 12 weeks after the infection has been resolved. They're also cutting the isolation requirement from 10 to just 5 days, probably because the failing economy is hurting Biden's approval ratings, so they need people to work. The narrative is also changing on what makes for a COVID case and how deaths are counted. Walensky recently admitted about 40% of COVID patients tested positive but do not have symptoms and are hospitalized for something else. She has also promised to deliver data on how many people have actually died from COVID as opposed to how many died with COVID. Let me add the key part two of this entire article, which I published on my blog at jameshetzer.org. Why we are seeing a U-turn in the narrative now. Biden needs some good news by his State of the Union address, as it'll be his last chance to help move the needle back toward blue. And the way he can do that is by declaring the pandemic over. He can then claim to be the great liberator who ended the pandemic measures for good. Quote, if they handle this right, they can give their voting base and sycophantic media agents all the necessary talking points to boost Dem prospects for the midterm elections, writes Childer. But to pull off that U-turn with any semblance of credibility, they have to start cutting the case rate now, and that's precisely what we're seeing. The State of the Union being on the 1st of March, for example. The CDC recently changed the guidelines so you don't need to retest after you've recovered for COVID. So no more false positives from recovered people. Florida's official policy is now to only test high-risk individuals and those who are symptomatic. Childers points out the left-leaning Sun Sentinel even ran an article highlighting the fact that despite surging case rates, Florida has the lowest COVID death rate in the nation, second only to sparsely populated Alaska. What incredibly powerful force could make the Sun Sentinel downplay the pandemic like this, he asked. So I think we're seeing the change right here in the U.S. Biden has been just collapsing. He came in promising. There's been so much, Giuseppe, you know, so many reports by so many pollsters about the calamitous hit they're going to take in November. And I think they just felt to try to salvage something out of Biden's utterly failing administration. They've got to make this move, and they've got to make it now. So I think that these developments here are coincident with Boris Johnson. And once the UK folds, they cannot maintain it in Europe generally. I think we are seeing the beginning of the end. Your thoughts, Giuseppe?
I think that we're seeing the end of their current campaign in this war against humanity. I think that they've got a lot of people injected with this death jab. A lot of people are going to be dying. I think that there's a lot of scenarios where they could release another type of a mass contagion bioweapon, gain of function bioweapon. And once they've got people to let their guard down again, and then they can implement the "see, we told you, we know better." Now you got to all line up and get your 29th booster every week. Now you need a booster. I'm being facetious, of course. I hope I'm being facetious. And so the other thing, as I said a moment ago, Jim, is the synagogue of Satan, the Rothschild elites, realize they can only govern the masses, the great Goyim masses, if the Goyim masses are willing to be governed. And it's becoming clear in the first world that people have had enough of this garbage, that even normies are realizing that people are getting sick from the injections, not from the bug that they released 2 years ago. And so and all the variants are just a bunch of crap. And, they 2 years ago, they rebranded the flu season to be COVID-19, which is, it went from 38 million documented cases of flu symptoms to 1,822 in 2020 following 2019. And now they're rebranding the sniffles as Omicron and, you know, so people have had enough. They realize they have to back off if they're going to maintain their control and their end goal, which is the one world government that's built back better, with the small bees being the 666 to symbolize that they are the starting five for Team Devil, not the rest of us choose to follow Team Divine. So Daryl, I'm curious, you know, what kind of scenarios do you see playing out now? Jim, I think you're accurate. I think the only way the Democrats can at any way maintain some semblance of viability, especially since they've gotten all behind Zio-Communist Bolshevik 2.0 and have backed Antifa, backed BLM, backed every freak that comes out of the closet. And now the silent majority has had enough of that, too, as evidenced by the reaction to Christmas Inc., which two talentless Hebrews, Seth Rogen and Sarah Silverman, made this disrespectful, vulgar, not funny, mocking, setting up Santa as a white supremacist and the Jew Silverman as the communist radical who's going to take, you know, Bolshevik 3.0, the North Pole, and it collapsed. Nobody watched it. They were mocked mercilessly. They tried to take over the narrative with a follow-up. We're too hip. We're too cool for school, and we're smarter than you. And they got savaged again in the modern meme wars. So I think – and now they staged that ridiculous, phony synagogue thing in Texas with the Jew who looks like a Muslim as the so-called felon, and it's just laughable. But Daryl, your thoughts, because you're a cautious man. How do you see this playing out now?
Well, I just need to do a little radio communication test here. Are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, you sound
good. I think
good.
We were talking over each other earlier.
Yeah. Okay.
So, well, here again, I never draw long-term conclusions from short-term indications. I think it's entirely precipitous and opens you to an emotional vulnerability to declare victory. We have too many contradictions here, and so contradictions are we have people who have facilitated, subsidized, enforced homicide, genocide, eugenics, destroyed countless people's lives, created a megalithic momentum of monstrous proportions based upon science. And now they say, based upon public opinion, we're going to have to ignore our own science. My bad. And can't we just all get along?
Right.
And here's my response to that. You started this. We ain't done yet. Okay. I don't want to stop. Listen, when you're swinging from the gallows and you've been dispossessed of all your properties and there's been a complete abrogation and repeal of all freedoms and liberties pre 9/11. And you have been held accountable in a court of justice. Into perpetuity, then we might have something to talk about. But this is, talk is cheap. I think we can come back to this in about a year. But I ain't buying it. Well, we'll just, hey, what's the hurry? Let's give it a month. Let's see what efficacy there are in these liars' words. They're proven to be psychopaths, they're congenital liars, and they will never hold themselves accountable. So without them being held accountable to real justice in real terms with the consequences thereof, you have moral jeopardy. And of course, you know, this is kind of ridiculous to talk about moral jeopardy with people that have absolutely no morals. We're talking about mass murderers here. So, this is, you know, they're wonderful at psyops. This just goes hand in hand with the Biderman torture chart. And, we're going to get everybody to, you know, clap their hands. Oh boy. And, by the way, they still control the money. They still control the keys to the cage, the enforcement, the justice system. And they're just going to spring load this for the next, I think what you're referring to, Giuseppe, they'll, you know, they'll just spring load this for the next, you know, Marburg virus or, you know, excuse du jour. So, you know, I don't say the fight's over because they say it's over.
Right.
There's been no justice. There's no justice.
No one said the fight's over, Daryl, just to be clear about this. And no one's drawing long-term conclusions from short-term events. I'm saying this is very significant. It's a major defeat for the bad guys. It's a major victory for the good guys. We'll see how it plays out. I don't think they can play the bioweapon again myself. I think the public is weary of it. We've seen through it. The protests have been massive. I do think they're going to shift gears and go to climate change, which turns out to be completely ridiculous and scientifically unfounded. But I believe we're all entitled to take a deep breath and exhale because something very important has happened here. And in my opinion, it's a triumph, not permanent, meaning the war isn't over. But in my opinion, this battle is won. We're going to be hitting a break here momentarily, and then we'll come back with a clip from Anthony, Tony the Rat, and see what his latest observation is about all this. Compliments of Mitchell. But Giuseppe, I mean, you know, that's my take. We obviously have two very contrasting views here between Daryl and me, and I think you're in the middle.
Right. It's interesting because Bill Gates has been foreshadowing smallpox, which is another bioweapon they would release. So I don't think we can completely discount they're releasing another pox upon the masses. And secondly, the incompetent veterinarian, the chicken swinger Albert Bourla, who somehow became a vaccine expert for humans after murdering many farm animals in his career, went on record saying he thought the pandemic was going to be over this spring as well. So in the last couple of weeks, they realized that they got all the mileage out of the first scamdemic they could. And I think you're right. It is a victory, but I think like they always say, they're playing 5D chess. So this is not unexpected for them to do this.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Headset on. Can you hear us, John?
He's working on something, Jim. Yeah.
Yeah. So it appears. Now, this may be a crucial aspect of these developments. It may be big business has made a difference here, too. Mitchell has just posted Starbucks is no longer requiring U.S. workers to be vaccinated against COVID-19, reversing a policy it announced earlier this month. I think that's just symptomatic. Nice. I would like to have John watch what Boris has to say and get his take on it if he's able to do so. John, are you with us? Can you hear?
I think he's still working on his audio thing.
I think so, too. Yeah, did you take you got the Fauci clip set up?
I do. Let's go to the Fauci clip.
Let's go ahead and see what Fauci's saying here.
Okay.
20 years ago, and it was for any vaccine that we wanted to make, you would say a vaccine from the time you start to the time it's approved to be safe and effective is several years, 5, 6, 7 years. That's unacceptable for now. So what happened is that as soon as we got the sequence of the virus from the Chinese, we pulled it out of the public database and stuck the gene into a vaccine platform and worked on it literally within a day of when it came out.
Test. Microphone
65
test.
5 days later, namely 2 days ago, we gave the first injection to a normal volunteer for a phase 1 trial to see if it's safe. That's the fastest that's ever been done. That's the good news. The challenging news is that even at that rocket speed, it's going to take a few months to show that the initial safety is okay. Then you go into a phase 2 trial, which instead of involving 45 people, which we have in the phase 1 trial, it involves hundreds if not thousands of people. That will take another 6 to 8 months to even know if it works. So at the fastest we can go, it's going to take a year to a year and a half to know if we have a vaccine that we can use. There's another element to safety, and that is if you vaccinate someone and they make an antibody response, and then they get exposed and infected, does the response that you induce actually enhance the infection and make it worse. And the only way you'll know that is if you do an extended study, not in a normal volunteer who has no risk of infection, but in people who are out there in a risk situation. This would not be the first time, if it happened, that a vaccine that looked good in initial safety actually made people worse. There was the history of the respiratory syncytial virus vaccine in children, which paradoxically made the children worse. One of the HIV vaccines that we tested several years ago actually made individuals more likely to get...
Well, that sounds like a CYO, from Fauci, obviously not current. I would say that's at least a year, year and a half old. Giuseppe, do you have a date on that?
I do not. Okay. Clearly it's older, and clearly the liar, the rat Fauci, is lying, because they've, for 20 years, they've wanted to introduce the genetically modified experimental injection into humans, and they could never get past the animal trials, and so he should be hanged for mass murder against humanity. He's such a lowlife. But we've got John Percent. John, can you hear us? We heard you test your mic. Are you all set there, John?
I can hear you guys good. There's no feedback?
Yep.
No, you're good. You're good, John. Did you see the Boris Johnson announcement we played twice? We want to play it again and get your take if you haven't seen it.
No, I'll go ahead and I'll watch it.
Let's go with Bojo, as you call him, Giuseppe. This is there's a different views here about the significance thereof, which I consider to be very, very considerable. Your take, once we have it here, Giuseppe.
Okay,
you got it?
I need you to fill for a second. I deleted that window, so I got to go to history. Oh, here it is. I got it. Here we go.
Drinking water before bed burns 46 pounds in 2 weeks.
Oops, we got to...
we don't see that. You got to do the screen share.
No, I got to mute because they always run their commercials for a few seconds, so let me
see. I got to see Boris's hair. That's,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll see it. It's there in all its glory.
Okay, hold on. Here we go. Now I can get past the ad. You know, they make you watch it for 5 seconds or what have you. Okay, so here we go. Again, good old Bojo. Coming back, the breaking news of the day. Here we go.
This morning, the Cabinet concluded that because of the extraordinary booster campaign, together with the way the public have responded to the Plan B measures, we can return to Plan A in England and allow Plan B regulations to expire. Yeah. As a result, from the start of Thursday next week, mandatory certification will end. Yeah. Organisations can, of course, choose to use the NHS COVID pass voluntarily, but we will end the compulsory use of COVID status certification in England. Yeah. From now on, the government is no longer asking people to work from home. Yeah. And people should now speak to their employers about arrangements for returning to the office. And having looked at the data carefully, the Cabinet concluded that once regulations lapse, the government will no longer mandate the wearing of face masks anywhere. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, from tomorrow, we will no longer require face masks in classrooms, and the Department for Education will shortly remove national guidance on their use in communal areas. In the country at large, we will continue to suggest the use of face coverings in enclosed or crowded spaces, particularly when you come into contact with people you don't normally meet, but we will trust the judgment of the British people and no longer criminalise anyone who chooses not to wear one. The government will also ease restrictions further on visits to care homes, and my right honourable friend, the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, will set out plans in the coming days.
John, we are really eager to get your reaction. What's your gut reaction?
The gut reaction is he has shifted enforcement from the government to the corporations. That's it. This is what this has been. This has been Mussolini fascism the whole time. the corporations and the government work together to subdue the people on a global scale. And basically what he's doing now, he's playing the hero. He sounds like Ron Paul. We trust the people to make these decisions, but he's saying it's voluntary if the corporations or anybody else wants to enforce any mandates on their employees or customers. And that's exactly what they're going to keep doing. They're going to keep kicking it back and forth. So we hate Amazon one week, then we hate the government the next week, and we hate Walmart, and this is a joke, is what this is.
I think, and Daryl have somewhat similar views. I take exception to that. I think this is a real admission of defeat of this massive agenda, the protests across Europe. We even have a Starbucks reporting just come in, no longer requiring U.S. workers to be vaccinated against COVID-19, reversing a policy it announced earlier this month. You missed the part where I'm reporting on the changes in the CDC, where they're now weakening up, admitting the vaccines aren't completely successful, admitting they don't stop transmission, all paving the way for the State of the Union on the 1st of March so that Biden is going to be able to claim to have vanquished the virus. I think this is what's going on politically, and the pressure has been so enormous, they've been compelled to make this move. And I don't believe it's really as you describe. It could be, but the people are so outraged. When the government ceases to require it, I don't think they're going to put up with this happy horse shit from corporations. My take. Daryl, you want to chime in since John's far more on your side than I?
Are you there, Daryl?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Right, okay. So I might, Jim, I, with all due respect, I might take exception that we're on different sides. I don't really know who the good guys are except for just a handful of people. And I consider you to be one of the good guys, but that's because I kind of know you. These other people, I don't know who they are. I don't have the background on them. And so I can't trust them, because trusting them means that you're – this is kind of important, Jim, for me. You know, I don't put any trust or confidence into people that I don't know. And I don't have a background dossier, understanding of them. But I do trust you. I do trust Giuseppe. I do trust Dave. And so on and so forth. So to address that, I believe that, if they can arbitrarily rescind a thing that wasn't, within their scope, prove, or prerogative to do in the first place, just because they rescinded, then that means arbitrarily rescinded. Now that just sets a precedent where they can arbitrarily reimpose it at a future date based on other arbitrary conditions that they feel justified in doing. So I think that there's a couple things going on here. If you look at the Supreme Court decision last week, which everybody called a victory, which I don't see as a victory, it sets up vaccine Jim Crow criteria on separate classes of people in the medical system, further creating division and arbitrariness, and as John said earlier, it provides a overview, overseeing of the your master at work in a corporate master. So they can delegate this to it. So what did Joe Biden say with the Supreme Court decision? He says, well, the states, this is too big for the feds. We're going to get pushback. We're going to count on the states to enforce this. So I see many complications here. So there's my point of view on it, Jim.
Well, I wasn't implying you and I are on different sides in general. I just meant in terms of interpreting the significance of this particular event. And my opinion is this is political. When you have the head of politics in the UK, the prime minister, declared a parliament, they're going to they're abandoning Plan B. They're going back to Plan A. No more mask mandates, no more passports, no more certification to go out in public spaces, no more working from home. Frankly, I regard that as virtually irrevocable. In other words, the public response is going to be so great, so relieved, that if they try to bring it back, there's going to be absolute repulsion. Nobody is going to want to buy it. So I'm looking at this politically. I'm saying this was unqualified the way he was putting it. If they wanted to hold in abeyance the idea of a future pandemic with smallpox or whatever the F, then he would have had to couch it completely differently. And it's telling not only that Starbucks is now pulling back, you know, and reversing itself on requiring its workers to be vaxxed, that the CDC is taking all these changes, that they're trying to orchestrate the impression by the State of the Union on the 1st of March that Biden has defeated the vax because the Democrat Party is in the toilet. Every analyst, every poll is showing they're going to take a bloodbath. I'm predicting 100 seats or more they're going to lose in the House and 3 or 4 Senate seats to boot. This is an act of desperation, but I do not see any way they can bring it back. They can go a different way. I think climate change is going to be the new mantra, and the public has to be educated that there's not even a correlation between CO2 in the atmosphere and the Earth's temperature. There's not even a correlation. And if there's not even a correlation, there's no causation. So the whole idea that CO2 is causing heating up of the Earth's temperature is just absurd from a scientific point of view. In fact, it turns out CO2 actually cools the Earth in 4 different ways. So I think once we focus on CO2, the problem being Joe Olson, who's doing a wonderful job, we're doing a series on climate change, we'll be doing the 4th installment this week, went to a meeting of the union of those involved in refrigeration and know a great deal about evaporation and compressors and temperature and all that. And he spoke with the head of the union, who admitted that, yeah, climate change, the idea that CO2 is warming Earth is complete nonsense, complete rubbish, it's bullshit. He agreed, but he said, we get so much of our funding from the Department of Energy that we have to follow their lead. It's just as I was appalled with 9/11 that those buildings obviously did not collapse. It wasn't even physically possible they could collapse. Just to give you an illustration, I have a retired math, chemistry, and physics teacher who did a calculation, and in relation to Building 1, the North Tower, that top 16 floors, if you consider the amount of pressure they were putting down as one unit, downward force, there were 199 units upward force. It wasn't even physically possible for the buildings to collapse. Now, that had to be obvious to every civil, structural, mechanical engineer in the country, and yet they did not speak out about it. So there is a lot of cowardice out there. There's a lot of, worrying about keeping your income, your funds, your grant money flowing, which I find it disgusting and repulsive when it comes to speaking out on behalf of the interest of the nation. But we see an awful lot of that going on. Giuseppe, I want you to Take your thoughts.
Well, Jim, I think it's interesting that Boris Johnson is doing that. I think you have to factor in the idea that someone had been sitting in the United Kingdom, had been sitting on a videotape of all of those muckety-muck Rothschild puppets having a Christmas party. No one was wearing masks when the British people were told that, oh my God, this is the worst pandemic ever. And, which is laughable, as we now well know. It's been a intentional bioweapon gain of function release, to scare people into taking the genetic experiment that no one should take that injection. Yet there's over 1 billion idiots who have now, been part of the experiment phase 1 So I think it's interesting, but I don't think that this is any cause for celebration. I don't see it as a victory, Jim. They're just taking the foot off the gas a little bit. I mean, the vile chicken swinger, Albert Perla, the incompetent veterinarian who now is a human vaccine expert, said last week in an interview that this is not a pandemic, it's going to become endemic, which means that it's always there, so at any point they can say, oh good lord, we've got a variant moose poop, and so moose poop is going to kill you, you have to take another booster. And so I think that Bojo is trying to save his own butt, and I think you're right. The globalist gaslighting media didn't cover the amazing protests. Millions of people in Europe said we've had enough, so they have to back off. As I mentioned early in hour one, that the chicken swingers can only govern with the will of the people obliging them, and so they realize now, holy cow, we may have pushed this a little too far. They're taking the foot off the gas a little bit, but this whole bullshit of the scamdemic is not going away. It's never going away, and so I don't see this as a victory, Jim. I think they're just self-preservational.
Well, this is not the first and won't be the last time I find myself in the minority, but of course just the majority view doesn't guarantee that it's true. Just
right.
There was a time when most people believed Earth was flat, and the fact that most people believed it didn't make it true. I think this is a psychologically and politically virtually irreversible development.
Hold on, Jim. The Earth isn't flat? And Jim,
no,
since you're
I have friends I respect who still think Earth is flat, even though it's not even physically possible that Earth can be flat.
And hold on, Jim, if you're in the minority, we have to get this man reparations now.
John, go ahead. You've had the least opportunity to contribute. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I want to zoom out 30,000 feet, and I want to say, the total goal of the whole thing, the elves, the chicken swingers, the white people are ready to storm the castle with pitchforks. It's always been that way in history. You know, John Locke wrote enough stuff that became the text for the Declaration of Independence. So I think the bottom line is where they're at now, because they control credit. It's about controlling participation in the marketplace. And the bottom line is, if you have political or religious views that are adverse to the people governing over you, they're going to eliminate you. That's what it's all about. From taking down John Gruden, which I think was just an example to go, look, if you guys don't go along with Black Lives Matter and you don't go along with our love of LGBT and everything, we're destroying everything in white Western culture. We're doing it with Bolshevism. And if you don't want to go along with the program, we'll just get rid of you. We've got dirt on everybody. And like I said, we live in a caste system. I think it's always been that way. And this government is bankrupt. Where the hell does this government have money to buy 400 million N95 masks and mail them out through DHL, UPS, and FedEx to the entire world? They don't have any money. They're bankrupt. So the whole world's run on credit. And the matter of access to credit, access to the marketplace, is this is what they're moving for, because the jig is up. We called them out on JFK. We called them out on the moon. We called them out on the every false flag, 9/11. We're winning. Jim, your point about climate change, game over. Scientifically, game over. I was a guy who grew up in Chicago watching John Coleman. He was the first one to get booted off the Weather Channel for not going along with climate change. But the issue they have is enforcement. They want to enforce all this stuff. The government doesn't have enough people in the IRS to enforce anything. They don't have enough people in the world to – they're going to have to shift it to the employers. And right now, that's what they're doing. Now, if Boris Yeltsin had a PR nightmare and he just did an Urban Meyer, essentially, and he got
Boris
caught –
Boris Johnson, not Boris Yeltsin. Boris Johnson.
Oh, yeah, him too. Boris Johnson. Well, either way, I mean, the bottom line is, oh my God, it's a PR thing, because they need that stooge there, because he's a willing puppet to to be a tyrant. But like I said, there is more than enough out there to say the white people have, quote unquote, effing had enough. We're ready to storm the castle. And this is the same pattern of manipulation that's been going on forever. Two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. As you guys did your beautiful roundtable on 9/11, we are 20 freaking years past 9/11, and nothing has been done. There's no white hats. Nobody's going to purge these people out of the government. And now, we'll talk about it later probably, just bring up the Stuart Rhodes thing. The guy is a template for them coming after radio shows like us, because Merrick Garland said, even if you weren't present in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, we're coming after you if you're a criminal responsible for the insurrection. That is every persuasive opinion that comes over our radio waves. And that's what I'm worried about right now. We are winning with free speech. We've always been winning, but now this is what they're going after. We are so persuasive. We can show them who the guy from Pfizer, the chicken swinger from Pfizer gets on TV and he goes, yeah, the two first boosters didn't do crap. And then this lady from The Blaze goes on this 3-minute rant on Glenn Beck. She agrees with us. She's like, you liars, ah, Fauci, hang him. She's in the same mind we are. Are we allies? Hell no. Because they're Zionists and they're waving the Israeli flag. That is first and foremost in their mind. And we will point out every single elf that has been behind this, that has authored this, that has drawn up the legislation to imprison the people. And when Glenn Beck and Tucker Carlson hear us say that, nope, you're anti-Semites, we can't work with you. We're winning, and they're going to have to shut us up, and they're going to have to shut us up real quick.
Well, even if I am right in my interpretation of the significance of this, there's been tremendous damage done. The transfer of wealth has been overwhelming. Small businesses have been decimated. Property has gone to the rich in great concentration. And as Giuseppe is reminding us, the damage done by the vax is going to endure. Hundreds of millions, maybe a billion or more people are going to die even if they stop vaccinating today, which, of course, is not part of the agenda, even if it becomes purely voluntary and they give up the mandates. I think a lot of companies are going to be between a rock and a hard place, because I don't think the companies per se have a motive to drive the vax. The companies don't have the motive. It's political. It comes from Greece. It comes from child's the way that.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Torture us and bomb us, fire Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
The Epic Times, which I really admire, has just published, England ends all COVID passports, mask mandates, work restrictions. It begins as follows. Restrictions including COVID-19 passes, mask mandate, and work-from-home guides will be removed in England. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced on Wednesday, that would be today. Johnson also suggested that self-isolation rules may also be thrown out at the end of March as a CCP virus pandemic becomes endemic, effective immediately. The UK government is no longer asking people to work from home. The COVID pass mandate for nightclubs and large events won't be renewed when it expires on January 26th. And from Thursday, indoor mask wearing will no longer be compulsory anywhere in England. Look, I don't know about you guys. I regard this as a great victory. Giuseppe, let me pick it up with you. Your thoughts, just any further reflections you have, and then we'll go back to John and to Daryl. Then I'm contemplating opening the call-in lines because I think everyone out there has an opinion. Giuseppe, you first.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea to open the call-in lines early, Jim. There, this is. I don't think it's a great victory. I think it's a shift in their strategy as a way to remain in power because clearly, whomever was sitting on that video of Boris Johnson partying up with no masks when the deadly threat of the gain of function bioweapon was so that a useless mask was required. It blew up in their face, and people in Europe especially have had enough and taken to the streets by the millions. So I think they actually wanted to wait until spring to do this, But they were literally, uh-oh, we might have gone a little too far. Let's take our foot off the gas a little bit and throw the citizens of the United Kingdom a few crumbs, let them think that they got their way. But they're always got five moves planned ahead. They're ready for any contingency. So clearly they realize that it could really be a problem for them. So they, instead of the spring, they're doing it now. That's my thoughts.
Well, let me announce the call-in number, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. We'll continue our conversation here, but you're welcome to call in and offer your thoughts about this striking development. Daryl, your further reflections, I expect your position hasn't changed. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, Jim. I see, I've been listening and, you know, this is the first time I'd heard this morning. It just came out, but I see it as a part of an ongoing, really good example of governing. And what is governing? Well, governing is control. And, so this is what a governor does on a steam system or any mechanical or hydrodynamic system that's starting to run away. It releases pressure, and that's what a governor does. And this is part of governing. This is just the rowing of the public emotions in people. The people in Great Britain don't have any control over their government. The government has only control over the governing. And so they're exercising that pressure release. I think I'll just wait a month and see how it goes. So.
Go ahead, John. I've got to take a call.
Okay. Daryl just made a great point. Steam valve. I'm a guy who got front and center. I just moved with the Ron Paul movement so much that I ran for state rep. I mean, I just thought it was on. It was happening. They exposed the Fed. It was really good. But I mean, the governments provide a steam valve. They see the people getting ticked off and then they allow a tea party, whatever it is, and they allow the people to blow off all that steam. But again, it's a rubber band effect. And it's two steps forward, one step back, and then eventually people just get sick of fighting. They wear us out. Not only have they dumbed us down over the past six decades with just general public education, everything like that, the people just don't have the will to fight anymore. And then us, I mean, we're not even intellectual anymore. We're just a bunch of people going, you can't make 2 + 2 = 5. But here's one of the things about this Boris Johnson thing. The government said I could go back to work. Yeah, well, how many tyrants do you think they installed in all kinds of employers over the last 30 months? The government said I can go to work. Oh, but you got the snowflake for a boss who's paranoid about whatever strain of COVID comes out, whatever variant, and they require you to wear a mask. You want your freedom. Sorry, you can't work here. They'll just send you right back home. Now, again, participation in the marketplace, no access to credit, no paycheck. And eventually, they're going to drop these people off the welfare rolls. The government just doesn't have the money. Like Raybould had mentioned, or he sent a video of some guy on Bitch, I forget who it was. But the guy was like, the reason they're doing this is so they don't have to pay out the Social Security. Social Security's bankrupt. So we need to kill off all the people over 65.
They're doing a good job of that, too. Jim, we've got our first caller, one of the Hall of Fame callers to your show, a legend, Paul from California. Are you there, Paul?
Well, thank you very much for that glowing introduction. Jim, I'm on your side for the most part, but in this respect, okay? As an old roommate, housemate of mine said many years ago, it's important to celebrate life a little bit every day. So with that in mind, okay, I will say this, okay? Obviously, there's something going on that we're not being told, And so for the moment, they're throwing us a bone. But I think that of all the people I've heard comment so far, I like what John had to say the most, which I believe the underlying theme of this is still going to be going forward, get Whitey. Okay. I have no data to back this up, but I'm willing to bet right now that as a percentage or per capita, however you want to phrase it, that a far higher number of white people got vaccinated than any other race. Okay. Worldwide. Okay. That's my supposition. And to what Daryl talked about earlier about not willing to take, a short-term information and make any long-term conclusions. Okay, sure, I completely agree with that. So let's take a look at the lay of the land here. A couple years ago, I believe 2019, it could have been 18, but I'd have to go look at the article. I shared an article with a lot of people on my email list about France. Okay, so at that time, 40%, that's a little bit, that's 10% less than half, 40% of babies being born in France were black or Arab, okay? And the article projected that by 2040, 2050 for sure, by as early as 2040, 70% of babies born in France were going to be black or Arab, given the fact that the French birth rate was something like 1.7 or 1.6, something, one of those European low birth rates, and that the average Muslim birth rate was nearly 6. Even though some Muslim families had 8 and 9 kids, it was still just shy of 6. Okay, this is complete insanity. Insanity, and that's what's going on. This will continue. You're not going to hear Boris Johnson speak out against the immigration over there in England. He's not going to talk about, going after these Pakistani, Muslim rape grooming gangs or anything like that. That's still going to be, in my opinion, off the table for as long as we can see. And just quickly, one little thing from my own perception here in California, which is, I don't know if it's a test case, but it's what's coming if they can get their way. My street that I live on right now, it's about 50 houses or so. I think it's about 25 houses aside. I'd have to count. Well, right across the street, there are 5 houses in a row, all Indian. Skip a house, it's Chinese. The next house is an Indian. And then skip a house, it's Chinese, and the next house is Indian. So out of 9 houses consecutively across the street, 7 of them are Indian. And already on my side of the street, there's already 4 or 5 Chinese families, which, of course, 20, 30 years ago was not the case. Almost every single time a long-time or original owner white family has sold or died, it's been sold to a non-white family, typically Asian. So this is what they want. They want to get rid of Whitey, okay, and bring in black-haired, brown-eyed compliers. And you talk about compliance here in California, almost everywhere I go, still, I'm the only one to go to a store without a mask. So this is the direction it's heading. This is a racial, biological reality. We're still in a racial war. And this little momentary relenting, okay, like we're going to stop curb stomping you for the moment. I don't think that's really a victory. A victory is when you kick ass, okay? A victory is not when the other person decides to stop kicking your ass. Thanks for hearing that.
Well, Paul, that's fine. I mean, look. I regard this as a short-term victory. I'm not oblivious of the fact that other developments are taking place. I'm certainly not prepared to question that the demographics of the U.S. are changing. Biden's obviously trying to accelerate with the open borders and all that. I have no doubt they're going to continue to try to destroy America, but I do see This onslaught using COVID is faltering, and in my opinion, it's falling apart, and I don't see how they're going to be able to resurrect it, but I'm certainly open to, and respectful of other points of view. Giuseppe, your thoughts? I think your views are pretty close to Paul's, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I think that they can easily resurrect it, Jim, because nothing's changed other than Boris Johnson is trying to salvage his leadership position, and they realize that they pushed too far. You know, the U.S., the living glory hole, Joe Biden, is still mailing out 400 million free masks. They're mailing out free tests, so nothing's going away. I mean, this is just I would love to say, oh, now the
house. I got a box. Did I get one?
I would love to say that, oh, this house of cards is collapsing now. But again, I feel it's just like they're letting the John got it right. They're just and Daryl, the governor, lifting the gas pedal a little bit just to let it all coast. And they're sitting on so many gain of function bioweapons they can release, and but even better for them is the Typhoid Mary and Typhoid Larry normies who've taken the death jab are now off-gassing, shedding, transmitting, whatever you want. So who knows what's coming off them, and that can be the next pandemic any moment. So this is just interesting news, Jim, and especially for in the UK. But I really don't think it's going to change anything in the U.S., honestly.
Well, the changes are already coming in the U.S., Giuseppe, with the CDC rolling back, Starbucks not requiring. They're trying to salvage Biden, and they can only do that if he has something to report that's positive. He declared he would beat the virus. They're going to try to make it look as though he beat the virus. And elevate it, and they can't just do it temporarily because of midterms in the off. And frankly, I don't even believe this is going to affect the outcome because everyone is, for the most part, so completely disgusted with Biden's incompetence and the calamities, the damage he's inflicting on the U.S. that even if
I have a question for that, Jim,
remove the COVID mandates and all that happy horse shit, I still think the Democrats are going to go down big time. Paul, you had a further comment?
Yeah, so I had a question, and it's just a little bit tongue-in-cheek, so forgive it, but the Biden that they're trying to salvage, is that the real Biden, or is that the fake Biden?
Of course it's a fake Biden. That's the only
So, Biden. I mean, here would be a point also that I would like to raise, too, in terms of the, you know, victory versus a defeat, and a defeat for them and a small victory for us. You know, yeah, for sure, we can look at it all these different ways, and all these points are valid, but here's the thing, Jim. Members of your family got injected with some noxious chemicals, okay? Members of Giuseppe's family got injected with some kind of poison, unless they were lucky and got saline. Members of Scorpio's family got injected with poisons. Millions of people in this country and across the world got injected with some concoction of Jew poison. I think it's a stunning victory for them. Okay, and it's nice that Starbucks says, well, you're no longer required to have a vaccine if you want to work here. I guess that's great news for perhaps the tens of thousands of Starbucks employees that already took the vaccine in fear for their job, or the one person that I know through a friend, this is just second person here, the one person I know through a friend, 27 years old, who's dead because he had to take a vaccine for his job, and now, as I like to say, he's permanently unemployed. So, you know, in my opinion, this thing is over when we're stepping over their dead bodies. That's when it's over. And as long as they're alive, they're going to continue this nonsense. And there's another racial reality that I never tire of pointing out, okay? Boris Johnson is a Jew, okay? Anthony Fauci is a Jew, okay? Borla is a Jew. Larry Fink is a Jew. How long do you want me to make the list? These are all racial realities, biological Jews. They are after this. And each one of these people that I just mentioned, if they don't have millions of dollars in their bank account right now, they can go get it. Can anybody on this panel go access millions of dollars right now? No.
So well, I would just like to interject, Paul, that Fauci is a Shabbos goy. He's a Jesuit-trained Catholic Italian. So he serves the House of Rothschild Empire, but he is not a biological Jew.
I'm going by what, in my opinion, physiognomy, and I look at I look at him when he's younger. You take a look at him when he's younger and you listen to him, and I swear to God, he's like a young Billy Crystal. He looks biologically to me as if he's got lots of Jewish in him. So, but
there's a lot of Italians who have that hook nose, the Roman nook, as we used to had a friend in high school named Nicky, and we used to call him Roman Nook because he had that big Italian nose that looks like a Hebrew nose. But I mean, but the point is either way, he's a murderous traitor, and your point is well made. But I think as good journalists, we need to be honest here.
All right, so I got one wrong.
Paul, you did great.
Yeah, Darryl, good work.
Please, please give us.
Well, yeah, it's a good conversation. So we have going back to what Paul was saying, we have a process of the clergy plan that started in this country full on mass in the 60s,
right.
And it's taken its toll. This, you know, being an airline pilot and understanding physics and logistics and vectors, there's been a wave that's taken over the last 50 years, which is the depopulation, usurpation of the integrity of white genetics. And it's been subsumed. The genocide's already taken place. Even if everything was stopped right now, it can't be reversed just because of how reproduction works. This has already happened. It's a fait accompli. The only thing that we're dealing with now going forward is how to triage our particular position in whatever the population is going to be, and hence the politics of that. There will always be politics. But listen, waiting, I said this last week, in a conversation roundtable we had, waiting for somebody else to fail is not a battle strategy.
Right.
And, so nobody's ever won a contest, a real war contest on, defense. Of course, we're not even defending ourselves. yet we grasp and cling to the hope of an idea that we can win something when we can't even defend ourselves. So until there is a just offense, it's all pretty much moot. So let's define what that is. Well, a just offense is when the individual learns how to defend himself. Let me give an example of something here. Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
I had a really good apologies
for in and out. We have a medical issue in the family this morning. That's
okay.
Updates. Go ahead, Darryl.
I just want to give somebody. Give everybody an example of what being free and independent man or woman is. I had a really good friend up in Milwaukee, worked at a college up there, and they came down with the mandate. And this was very problematic and caused much distress and concern with this individual. And they said, "What can I do?" And I said, "Well, let's drag them into the law. Let's not wait for a politician. Let's don't appeal to their greater sensibilities. You have a duty to defend yourself. And if you're ignorant of how to do that, then you're still a child." And so I said, this is how you do it. You do it with an affidavit, which is the highest form of law and truth. You put it in an affidavit form. It's notarized, and it's served on them.
And this is called a claim. A claim of truth. And they have so long to respond to it, and they, where they, it has to be rebutted. And if they don't rebut it, it stands as truth and law and is actionable. And if you don't understand how to do this, if you've reached a point in your life where you call yourself a mature man or woman and you don't actually understand how to defend yourself in the common law of action of filing a claim, you're still a child. Now, this is harsh. I'm offending people right now. But we don't have time to play games. So we did that. We filed a claim, an affidavit of truth. And guess what this great big well-known college in Milwaukee did? They stood down. Stood down. All right. What happened with this person? Nothing. What happened with this person individually? That person became re-empowered. So you need to learn how to re-empower yourself through the tools that are already here and quit waiting for somebody to ride in with a white horse and a white hat to save you. Okay? And so we have tools and we don't use them. All right.
It's good. That's good stuff, Daryl. I will just add quickly. So I do know a little bit about this, you know, having delved into, quote, the law for a little while there. The only problem, and it's, you know, not really a problem. Well, it is a problem, is that courts and governments will routinely ignore this. Now, corporations, you can, or private entities like the college, for example, you can have victories in this way, and I'm familiar with that. But in many cases, you know, these government, criminal government entities and, you know, the courts themselves will just ignore this sort of paperwork.
As Paul said earlier, this is a transfer of corporatism. And so you have to engage them on the corporate level with the law. You don't have to have the government. You have to individually be able to defend yourself from the corporatism. And this is one of the very effective means of which you can do it. Well, politically, putting the government on these other levels, that's a different game. But you can individually defend yourself by understanding how to file a claim. All right?
Yes.
And so why are we taking that off the table? Well,
by the way, that was John that said that earlier.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, 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 Radio.
Oh, my God.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I predict this have a domino effect, and here we have the Czech prime minister ending vaccine mandates. We do not want to deepen the rifts in society. There will be many more to follow. Paul, come on back in and offer more of your thoughts.
Well, you know, it's amazing. I was just thinking that. It's like you were reading my mind, because that's one of the initial reasons why I wanted to celebrate, too. I mean, I'm a human being. When I heard it, I'm thinking, all right, this is great. You know, this is bound to spread. I mean, we all want to think that. But, you know, I just, you know, you got to sober up real quick and realize the position that we're still in is they, our enemies, still control and have weaponized all the systems against us. I mean, make the case to me that the medical system is now not weaponized against us and has been weaponized against us for a long time. You know, the financial system is certainly weaponized against us, the media, the schools, and so on. So, you know, we're in a very deep hole, and, you know, we have to realize we got to start digging. And to the kind of things that Daryl was speaking about, this is amazing stuff, and it should be known by so many more people, but it's not. And I'll just say that in my experience, Daryl, it's been frustrating. I've tried to set people free for decades. You're talking to somebody here. I have not filed a federal income tax return in over 3 decades with no issues. I can beat traffic tickets in any, you know, number of different methods. And, you know, again, you know, there's really no major issues with doing so. It's fairly straightforward. But the problem is that most people either don't want to make the effort or don't believe it. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to help people and, oh, I just paid it. I mean, including writing checks to the IRS for thousands of dollars. Oh, it's not worth it. You know, it's like pathetic, because I tell them, look, all they'll do is send you letters. That's all I've ever gotten is the letters.
Oh, got
but,
it.
You know,
got it.
People have to want to have the strength to be free and to be pissed off enough about the way things are. All right, thanks.
Listen, the vast majority not only really don't have a very clear idea what's going on, they don't have the drive, the determination, or even the ability to follow through on issues such as Daryl is proposing or that you might be able to accomplish. What I'm saying is the political ramifications of what's happening here are going to be enormous. And that is not to gainsay all the damage that's already been done, or all the new efforts we may have to cope with. But I think basically this onslaught has been halted. I do not foresee more of these vaccine mandates. I do not. I think they have been eclipsed. Now, there are plenty of other tactics they can use, and I'm not suggesting that winning the battle is equivalent to winning the war. I'm just saying this, in my opinion, is a significant victory for mankind, and it's going to have a lot of ramifications. It's going to inspire a lot of people to continue to put up the pressure, because it really happened, because a lot of people were putting up the pressure, including all those protests, all the changes in the Biden political standing because of all this happy horseshit they've been dumping on the American people. The Democrats are scared shitless. They're going to be wiped out, wiped off the map in the midterm this year. And I think that's a pretty close approximation of what is in fact going to happen. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, I think that I agree that this is a victory as a battle, and but I don't think you can make the claim that the vaccine mandates are gone. I think you're taking a leap of faith there. There's nothing changes. This is just taking pressure off the gas pedal a little bit to let the Europeans especially think they've achieved something with their protests, and at any point they can roll out another bioweapon and kill some people, make them even more sick than before, and suddenly it all returns, and with the added onus that we were right all along. Don't you see this now, Goyim cattle? We were right all along. Take your Jew jab. So, I mean, this is a modest battle victory. They knew at some point they had to back off from the scamdemic, because you can only get people to accept utter state of emergency enslavement for so long, and it was going to end by the spring. They just to cover their own rear ends and allow Bojo to stay in government, they did it in January instead of March or April. I mean, that's the way I see it.
John, would you like to add some further thoughts?
Well, yeah, over the break, I just want to let you guys know I hacked into one of Fauci's computer and I got the line on the next variant. It's okay. Kappa Omega. And here it is. Okay. Kappa Omega. No, I agree with Paul. It's a totally racial thing. The white people have consistently found out what the elf plan is and find the elf behind the curtain, and that's really what their problem is. But they still need our genius, our work ethic, our engineering, our production, so they got to keep some of us around. What I really want to say is, like I said earlier, that the government is shifting enforcement over to the employers. Like you said, no vaccine mandates. Okay, here, have a civil war. The vaccinated against the unvaccinated. Let them fight it out. We're going to fight it out in the marketplace now. We're going to fight it out in our families over Thanksgiving dinner, whether or not you're vaccinated. This whole thing has been nothing but it's always the same. Try to pit the blacks against the whites and try to do this. And then all this talk of white supremacy. White supremacy has nothing to do with whites against blacks. It only has to do with whites criticizing Israel and Jews. That's it. But,
and John,
I think you're really romantically, you want to believe in the system. And I have a Noah Webster speller here from 1880, and they were teaching kids in third grade. Our farmers, merchants, and mechanics compose the strength of our nation. Let them be wise and virtuous and trust no man to legislate for them if he lives in the habitual violation of the laws of his country. They threw our ballot box out at the last election. It's over. I don't care about Republicans or Democrats anymore. It doesn't matter what the political wave is. We don't have a ballot box anymore. We don't have one. And that's what Fox News and everybody keeps droning on about over and over again. The Democrats shooting themselves in the foot. All these guys are corrupt. All these guys have brought us to bankruptcy. I was all romantic about Ronald Reagan when I was 11 years old and the space shuttle program. But I'm telling you, man, Ron Paul came along. And the way that they threw Ron Paul out of the convention in Tampa, that was it for me. John Boehner reading the results of a voice vote off a teleprompter, and he threw out Ron Paul and all his delegates? When Sarah Palin was like, let's have a fight between the Romney and Ron Paul delegates, and they wouldn't let it happen. Our system is done. It's controlled.
And John, and Ron Paul didn't even name the Jew. Can you imagine if Ron Paul named the Jew? Come on.
I mean, I agree with you, but he certainly pointed out the whole point about us, of the Fed loaning us our own currency at interest.
No.
A lot of people,
no, grabbed, sure.
If people hated bankers. That was enough, you know. But you're right. He did not call out. And then, obviously, in subsequent, his family.
And he still doesn't.
Well, and Rand Paul shuts up when he's told to shut up, and Rand Paul gets in front of the microphone when he's allowed. I love Thomas Massie, but he's one guy.
I want to invite Mitchell to offer views of his own. He's very much involved in politics in Virginia, and of course, producing the show. Mitchell, your thoughts about all these developments.
Hey, Jim. How you doing? Hey, everybody.
Hey,
I just wanted to say, all of this, you know, with Boris Johnson, you know, now saying that he only has a little Johnson and that he has to party all the time. And he, you know, everybody has to party now because, you know, if it's going to take down his administration, he'd just rather have everybody party. If you didn't see, you know, they're trying to pump up and save Joe Biden here in the U.S., at least prop him up for a little bit longer. And they came out in the Washington Post today and said, oh, don't count. Joe Biden's presidency has failed yet. Sure. But yeah, it's that crazy. It's manufactured consent, you know, is what we're looking at. And they can only manufacture the consent so long until they have to move on to some other major psychological operation. You know, this mass formational psychosis. You know, if people would just realize that it doesn't apply just to COVID, you know, as Dr. Malone and Joe Rogan talked about, it applies to the Trump-Russia collusion shit. It applies to the Russia stuff. You know, it applies to many different elements of our government and the psychology that it uses to manufacture consent. And we also had William Grant join us. Go ahead.
Good stuff, Mitchell.
Go for it, Bill.
Bill Grant, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys. Thanks, and thank you, Mitchell. yeah, I haven't had my first coffee yet. I kind of would have said a lot of what everybody said here. And Boris Johnson there, he's a good actor. I think he's a good actor. I mean, he really looks convincing and maybe worried about his position. But I think one thing that's a little bit off our radar, other than the actual war with Russia issue and other stuff, is, you know, they're going to switch to climate change as well sooner or later. And but right now, in the immediate sense, the people that were resisting getting the jab because the government was making them do it, I think a lot of those people are now going to actually take the jab. Like, okay, they're trustworthy. I'll take it. You know, it's not so bad. It's not going to help me too much, but just to be safe. So I think those people, the lefty type that were on the fence just because it was mandated, angering them, they already got most of who they're going to be able to get, except for the job kind of situation people. And I think it's just easy. I just think it's making it easier for the rest of those people it's just relaxing them, you know. And I was going to say more, but I know I'm calling in late. But also, like, they might be trying to stop, they're trying to save Australia. In other words, not the people, but the government of Australia. The Australians may be about to take down their own government, and they don't want any of that. Yeah, and they should, right? So, we'll see what happens, but great inputs basically by everybody.
And you made a good point there, Bill, about people that are believing already. So in other words, there's believers out there and they're not going to let go of that belief. You know, there may be a few people that have that attitude you just suggested about, well, gosh, you know, I'm still going to go ahead and get the shot. You know, it's hard to tell what's going through their minds, but to add to what you said and to what John was saying earlier, the division they've been doing, as Miles Mathis has pointed out for years, the division between the sexes has always been a priority for them, and they've done a number of things over the decades to enhance the division between men and women. And I'll just mention casually, because it's part of this equation here, that I go on to some of these dating sites because, like any man, I still have fantasies about having relationships with women. Several of these sites now, I've seen multiple profiles where the women state right in there that I'm vaccinated and you must be too, okay? Or that I follow right. All the COVID protocols. And as I've mentioned on air before, I now know if I can count Jim as somebody that I know now seven couples where the man is not vaccinated and the woman is. And in a couple of these situations, the woman tried to prevail upon the husband or the boyfriend to get their kids vaccinated too, and he wasn't having part of it. So this 6 or 7 to 1 ratio, would it hold for the larger sample size? Probably not. But I would be not surprised at all if it was at least 2 or 3 to 1 women versus men. Women very much believe in this compared to men, and that's an issue.
John Percent, go ahead.
No, I just want to say I physically have seen in the last 15 years between Chicago and Tennessee, I have seen a physical expansion of bed size at large hospitals, 25% to 30% bed expansion. And I really do think that now 30 months into this crap and so many variants and it's never going anywhere, somebody can go into the hospital, they've got your social media, they know your beliefs or whatever the hell it is, and they just tell your family, I'm sorry, you can't come see him. He's got a form of the variant, and then out you go the back door in a body bag. There is no reason to expand, do these large capital products and expand bed size unless you plan on filling them at $1,500 a day or whatever the hell it costs. But I have seen this, and I can't believe it. And I the medical system is their tool where they can just, you know, you go in the ER door and you go out in a body bag, and nobody will know what the hell's going on.
Well, I think we all have a pretty good idea of what's going on. I tend to agree with Paul. I don't think that the weakening government pressure is going to induce anyone to take it, that they were hesitant to take it because the government. So I tend not to agree with Bill on that issue. But, of course, I mean, this is a very complicated situation, and the whole Big Pharma still is going to continue to exert tremendous influence on the country. I do believe, however, this is a major setback, and I'm having a hard time finding any persuasive arguments to the contrary, notwithstanding that the rest of you are pretty much in agreement that I'm mistaken. I think this is going to have profound political ramifications, and it's not transitory, and a lot of people are going to say, this reveals what we always thought, it was all bullshit, and they're not going to be willing to go back to more bullshit. This is my opinion. Giuseppe, you're
right. Well, Jim, I think that you give the Goyim cattle far more credit than they deserve, and they're basically, especially in America, are just a bunch of cowards and incredibly weak-minded and incredibly compliant and obedient to what the transnational corporations want and what the government controlled by the transnational corporations and ultimately controlled by the globalist Rothschild banking cabal want. And so I don't think, you know, I mean, I know, Jim, you put faith in voting and all that, but it doesn't matter. Both parties are utterly controlled, and this is, again, an example of the divide and conquer. The politics of the United States is pro wrestling. Now they're building up Trump to come back, and now there's a match that's going to be the next pay-per-view. It's Trump versus DeSantis. They finally realize they got to get in the ring a little bit, and it's a joke because no matter who's elected, who cares if a bunch of Republican clowns get elected and they control both houses of government. You can look back to the last 40 years and any time some insider who claims to be an outsider gets in and the public buy into the farce that is American election pro wrestling, and we've got both houses of Congress now, and we've got the presidency, and so much is going to change. And guess what? Nothing changes. They always defer to their central cabalist Zio-communist leaders, and nothing ever gets moved ahead except the Rothschild agenda. And so, I mean, Jim, I'm really surprised, a man of you investigating as much as you have to really think that any of this matters after everything that's been so obvious, that Obama got both houses, George Bush got both houses, and nothing changes, Jim.
Well, Giuseppe, look, I appreciate your point of view. Yeah, I have a certain degree of idealism. I still believe in the concept of America. I believe in the Constitution. I do believe we have another caller here from the state of Washington. Brian, join the conversation.
I think Brian dropped off, Jim. I don't think he'll be joining us. So let's just continue on with the guests we have.
Sure. Let's go back to Daryl. Daryl.
Well, I believe that you're an optimist, Jim, and I salute you for that. I'm a pessimistic optimist. I believe it'll all work out. There's just going to be problems. And if the so-called Democrats actually were to substantially or substantively lose any kind of power or authority, if that was actually a possibility by some political means, rest assured that the Republicans will make sure that that does not happen. Okay, because if you were to ever lose the bicameral, the dialectic, it would all implode. If one party was to actually achieve a real dominance, the whole system would collapse upon itself. Because see, they have to have one hand to wash the other. This is the wash, rinse, spin, repeat cycle. And
exactly.
if there will ever at any point in my lifetime where there is observable, actionable, objective and reasonable outcomes, rest assured it will not involve Republicans or Democrats. It won't.
Well, I don't
by the way, that's the precise point that Miles Mathis has made in multiple papers about so many of the things they do is to keep the two-party system alive. That we just don't interpret it as that.
I'll tell you, in 2008 with the Ron Paul movement, I got to this point in the Declaration of Independence when a long train of abuses and usurpations evinces a design to reduce the people under absolute despotism. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government. We were there in 2001. Jim, you and your guys solidified the proof of 9/11 being a hoax by 2005. If we're not 10 times more at that point right now, this government is thrown off. Love the Bill of Rights. Love the Constitution, but the fact that these people in black robes will not follow it at the Supreme Court level, nobody looked at one election fraud case, it's over. Our judiciary is gone. We have no – that's it, man. We have to – I'm sorry. And if I sound like frickin' Stuart Rhodes, really, all I did was quote the
founders.
That's all I did.
You're exactly correct.
I'm a terrorist because I quoted the Declaration of Independence. That's where Merrick Garland's taking us. I swear to God, he is.
The line in the sand has been repeatedly crossed, and they keep moving it, and they keep crossing it. And most people are just too dumb to know what's happening. I'll just make this quick point, and I thank you for the time today. It was fantastic. I'll make this quick point. I bet you that 100 or so years ago, there was crazy anti-Semitic racist people that said,
We can't give the Jews control of our money. It's unthinkable. Right? There are people that probably said, we can't give the Jews control of a major publishing house. It's unthinkable. We can't let the Jews control a television station. It's unthinkable. Well, where are we now, 100 years later?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Thanks for calling and for all sharing your insights. I'm with you, John. I've cited the Declaration of Independence repeatedly in recent shows. It may still come to that. We do have a respite. I'm hoping it's more than temporary, but I'm not sufficiently naive to recognize it could be merely a temporary suspension in an unrelenting effort to destroy the nation, about which I really don't have serious doubts. So,
well, it's like Giuseppe said, the cattle goy are not angry enough about the lies. 30 months of lying about the vaccine and the this, that, and the other. They lied to you, and yet the American people, the majority, is not so pissed off. You're just going to vote. You're going to pull a straight party Republican lever. That's how you're going to respond when they lied right to your damn face and then stuck your family member with an injection and murdered them.
I think the Democratic Party has self-immolated, John. I don't think there's anything left. And the American people are going to reject the Democratic Party in the midterms. And there's no turning back, in my opinion. Daryl, I'm so glad you could join us. John, delightful to have you here.
Giuseppe, nice to meet you, Jim.
I leave to you, Giuseppe, the final word today.
Well, I want to salute all the callers. I think Paul was on fire. Bill Grant, wonderful to have you jump in. You should come on more often. And Mitchell even jumped in with excellent points. And Daryl and John are brothers in this movement, and we all honor you, Jim, and I wish I could have your belief in the system, but you know, we grew up in different eras, and you remember the golden age of the United States where those things seemed to be true. But unfortunately, in my lifetime, it's never been true, and it's getting worse. So I think you're absolutely right. The Democrats have turned into the communist 2.0 Bolshevik party, and they're going to pay a price. But what's sad is there's millions of weak-minded lemmings who actually wear masks, took the jabs, and are going to vote Democrat in California, in New York, and in all these other big cities because they want their gibs, they want their checks, and they want their reparations. It's, Jim, this country is going down the toilet.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Thank you.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.